Now, as you know, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is called the great chapter of faith. And thank God for the men and women who are mentioned throughout that chapter. Men and women who loved the Lord, who had faith in Him. One of the key words in the book of Hebrews, of course, is the word better. And as we look through that book, you would find there are many things that are spoken of about being better. There is a better priesthood. There is a better provision. There is a better sacrifice. There is a better person in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we have read down through the opening verses, we realize that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And immediately after that verse of Scripture in verse 6, the Bible speaks to us in verse 7 about a very well-known man, the man of God called Noah. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith." And here's a beautiful, short, what someone described as thumbnail sketch of the life of Noah and the faith of Noah in the Lord. You can read, of course, the whole account of Noah in the book of Genesis there through Genesis 6, 7, and 8. And in the Old Testament scriptures, the Bible says about Noah, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And here the Bible reminds us in the New Testament that by faith, Noah, being warned of God, became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, lest any man should boast, not of works, but according to his mercy and his grace he has saved us. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and by faith, and know the great principle of God's grace and Noah's faith are illustrated for us here in this passage of Scripture. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that as far as Noah's conversation is concerned, as far as his manner of life was concerned, it says in Genesis 6 and 9, "Now Noah was a just man, and he was perfect in his generations. And when the whole world had corrupted itself, and when the whole world was anti-God, and when the whole world was filled with violence and wickedness and vice," and the Bible says that the very thoughts and the imaginations of the hearts of men and women was evil and evil continually, there was one man, Noah, who was out of step with the world. One man who, thank God, marched to the beat of a different drummer. One man who served God, who had faith in God. He was out of step with the political world. He was out of step with the social world. He was out of step with the religious world of his day, because he had faith in God. The Bible tells us about his conversation, about this good man, the manner of his life. He was perfect in his generation. It speaks about the vision that he had by faith, because the Bible says here in Hebrews 11 and 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." Oh, God spoke to Noah. God believed Noah. The antediluvian world, in its materialistic and humanistic and secular society, they had never seen rain, never mind a flood. But God said, "Noah, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood." Something that had not been seen as yet. But Noah believed God and acted upon God's precious word. And the Bible says here that Noah was warned of God and he was moved with fear, and there was a motivation in his life. He had a vision. He had a lovely conversation, a wonderful walk with God, and he was moved with fear, a holy fear, a respect and awe for God. And he began in preparation to prepare the ark. And as he did so, the Bible reminds us in the first epistle of Peter that as he prepared the ark, and in the book of Jude, he was a preacher of righteousness. And for those 120 years, he sounded out the message that God is coming in judgment and there's a day of accountability coming. And of course, we read there in Genesis chapter 7 when God said, and the ark was finally completed, God said, Noah, come into the ark. Thank God for his salvation. And as Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives entered into the ark, they were safe and secure when the flood came. Now, as we look tonight for a moment or two at verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, some people might think, well, what relevance has this man who built an ark thousands of years ago, what relevance has it to us today? Well, Noah lived in a day of great apostasy, a day of great wickedness, spiritual and moral darkness, when every imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of men and women was evil continually. And yet, thank God, even in that day, Noah lived in a day of grace, because the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah lived at the end of an age, because God was going to destroy the world. And when the ark would finally come to rest on Mount Ararat, it would be a world that had been cleansed by a flood. It would be, as it were, a new start. And let us remember tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We live in a day of great wickedness, of apostasy in religious circles, of spiritual, of moral darkness. But thank God we're still in the day of grace. And the gospel of Christ is still proclaimed. And we're living in a day when, thank God, men and women can still be saved. But we're living, I believe, at the end of an age when one day the trumpet will sound for his coming. And one day soon the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, the hymn writer says, my beloved one's bringing. Oh, what a Savior this Jesus is mine. And in this day and age, we realize that men and women need to be saved. And thank God, they can be saved. But men and women, they are all saved in the same way. We're told today by the religious people that it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. As long as you are sincere in your belief, all religions, all philosophies will all eventually take men and women to heaven. But men and women are saved the same way. And it's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Bible says in Acts 4 and 12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's only one way of salvation. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And men and women need to be saved. They can be saved, but they must come in simple faith, like Noah, to the Savior. Now, I want you to notice some very simple thoughts about it here. It says in verse 7 of Hebrews 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God. He was warned of God. That speaks to me of revelation. God spoke to Noah. God told Noah, because Noah found grace in God's eyes, God told Noah what he was going to do. God told Noah to build an ark. God gave him the blueprint. God gave him the design. God told him exactly how to go about building this ark. And you and I tonight, we have in our own hand God's revelation in the Holy Scriptures. And in the Holy Scriptures, we are told, the apostle said to young Timothy, they are able to make you wise unto salvation. But it is God's revelation to men. God reveals himself to men through his word. All through the Scriptures, God revealed himself. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Abraham when Abraham was a pagan, heathen, idolater, an Ur of the Chaldees. God spoke to Abraham. But you remember, even God spoke to Balaam through a donkey. God spoke to Lot's wife by the very angels of heaven who pulled her out of the city. God spoke to Pharaoh through Moses, his prophet. God spoke to Pilate even through his wife's dream. God spoke to Herod through the faithful ministry of John the Baptist. God speaks to men and women. God spoke to King Agrippa through the witness of Paul, the great apostle. And I wonder tonight, how many times has God spoken to you through his word? Noah was warned of God. There was a revelation from God to Noah about what was going to take place. Sometimes in our lives, God has spoken to us in the circumstances and in the providences of life. And in times of sickness, or in times of great sorrow and bereavement, God has drawn very, very near. And maybe I'm speaking tonight to some, and maybe there was a time when you were in hospital and you faced surgery, and you prayed sincerely and you said, oh God, if you bring me safely through this surgery, I'll give my heart and life to you and I will serve you, Lord. And God was faithful and God brought you safely through, but you have never trusted him as your Savior. Maybe some have come through bereavement and sorrow and hardship and difficulty. And even in the loss of a dear loved one, maybe a mother or a father, sister or a brother, or even a little child, you felt, it's time I should get right with God. But yet you've never come. Or maybe even through some of the saints of God that you know personally, that you work with, that you live beside, and you know their testimony, and you know how God changed their lives, and you know how there was a great turnaround in their life, and God brought them from darkness to light, and how they've been faithful, and how you can see, as it were, Christ even in their lives, and yet you're not saved. And of course, the very Scriptures themselves. You have the Word of God. Maybe you've opened it at different times. Someone has said that the most read passage of the Bible is Genesis chapter 1. Because so many people, at some point in their life, they turn to the Word of God. They say, I'm going to try and read the Bible. And they've read maybe a few chapters and given up. You have the Bible. You have God's revelation. And it contains a warning that you need to be saved. But notice what the Bible says here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Moved with fear. There was conviction in the heart and in the life of Noah. Noah realized that this is God speaking to me. And because he had found grace and by faith, because he loved the Lord and he was a just man and he sought to walk with God, he of course believed God with all his heart and with all his soul, and therefore he prepared the ark. And isn't it a wonderful thing that even in a gospel meeting, sometimes some sin-hardened hearts can be moved by the Spirit of God. As God has spoken in times past in his providence and in the circumstances in life, but through the gospel of Christ, men and women may come under conviction of their sin and of their need. Oftentimes we talk to people and they think, well, I don't need to be saved, for I'm a good person. I don't need to be saved, for I'm a member of a church. I don't need to be saved because I have been baptized. I don't need to be saved. I'm a pillar of society. I don't need to be saved. I have sung in the choir. I don't need to be saved. I have been confirmed. All these things. And it may be good. But the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And Ezekiel says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And our good works and our good deeds and our religiosity and the ceremonies of church cannot save our soul. Noah had a conviction. He was moved with fear. You know the trouble in our province today is? You know the trouble throughout the United Kingdom, the south of Ireland and Europe and across the world? The scripture says there is no fear of God before the eyes of men and women. I sat down one night, it was coming up to the weekend, and I had bought a Belfast Telegraph, and I started to write out just some of the headings throughout the paper. And it was filled with stories of drunkenness and fighting and jail terms and murder and rape. And that was just one night. And I thought, there's no fear of God in hearts and lives anymore. Children are not sent out to Sunday school for the children's meeting. Parents never attend a church, a place of worship. Little ones are growing up, and as they say, they don't know, as it were, their right hand from their left. You're not told what's right and what's wrong. And there's no fear of God. But Noah had a revelation from God. Noah was convicted. He was moved with fear. There was conviction in his life. You notice then there was preparation. For it says, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Prepared an ark. What did the old prophet Amos say? He said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And as Noah worked at the ark, he and his sons, and perhaps he employed many, many others to work along with him, yet he sounded out the message, there's coming a day of judgment. God will judge the world. God will send a flood. We often sing the little chorus in the children's meeting, Mr. Noah built an ark, and the people thought it such an ark. Mr. Noah pleaded so, but into the ark they would not go. And maybe many called him a fool. Many pointed at him and laughed and mocked, but There was a day came when it began to rain, and it rained, and men began to run to the rocks, to the mountains, to try and find safety. But the only safety and the only refuge that could be found is Noah's Ark. The thing they despised, the thing they hated, Noah acted according to the message he had received. And when Noah entered in and God shut the door, the day of opportunity was forever over for that antediluvian civilization. There was only one way of escape. There was only one door. There was only one time. And time had run out. The sands of time had run out as far as men and women were concerned. God shut the door. I don't know how many times you have heard the gospel. I don't know how many times God has convicted you in your own heart and life about salvation. I don't know how many times you have thought about it, or shrugged it off, or put it off, or procrastinated. But I tell you tonight, friend, you need to prepare to meet God. And I pray that this simple message from God's word will, of this old story of Noah and the ark, will stir you up to repent of your sin and to turn to Christ. Because there's only one way you can prepare. That is to come to the Savior. The Bible says here, Noah warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Oh, you see, there was revelation, and there was conviction, and there was preparation, and thank God there was salvation. He saved his house. He saved his family. God knows tonight, dear sir, dear woman, young person, you could be the very one to be saved. And through your salvation, and through your testimony, and through your witness, your family, like Noah's family, could be saved. Not a wonderful thing. You see, no man is an island, and we all have an influence on those around us. Noah prepared the ark. And thank God he entered in. And he found salvation. And the Bible says there, by the which he condemned the world. There's condemnation. See, the Bible reminds us there in John's Gospel chapter 3. And what a chapter John chapter 3 is. It contains that verse that everybody knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But when you come to the end of that chapter, the Bible says there in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. In other words, they received a revelation. They were under conviction of their sin. They made preparation, and thank God they have found salvation, and they have everlasting life because they have believed on the Son. But the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, listen, is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Noah, because of his salvation, because of his preparation, he condemned the world. He stood out as a testimony. And men and women who died, they heard him preach. They heard the message. They heard the warning, but they didn't take it. And they can't blame Noah. Friend, if you go out without Christ and you end up at a lost, Christless eternity, you can't blame this church. You can't blame tonight this preacher. Because we urge you, we beg you, we implore you in Christ's stead, come and get right with God and be saved, because there's a condemnation that will come into the world. Noah's holy fear condemned their vain self-confidence in their own flesh and their own works and their own deeds. Noah's holy faith stands in contrast to their unbelief. Noah's fidelity and his obedience to God's word condemned their contempt for the word of God. But you see, Proverbs reminds us, Proverbs 29:1, he being often reproved shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. How often were those people reproved? And the Bible says here, Noah became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He experienced justification. He was acquitted, declared innocent, justified in the very sight of God. That's what you need tonight. Because you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Isn't it a powerful thing that in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the verse that tells us of the love of God, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, for God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. See, in the verse that explains the love of God, there's that word, perish. If we believe, we will not perish. But if we do not believe, then we will perish. That's why we preach the gospel. We call men and women, as we were singing in the hymn, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you come to God tonight, you must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What did Jeremiah say? God says, ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, if ye seek me with all your heart. You might say tonight, Fred, you know, I thought about that years ago. I tried it. My life didn't change. Nothing dramatic happened. You see, friend, if you seek the Lord, you've got to seek him with all of your heart. You've got to renounce everything else and repent and turn from your sin. Put your faith and trust in Christ. Someone said that the little word faith, as an acrostic, spells out forsaking all. I trust him. Not trusting anymore in my good works. Not trusting in my religious deeds. I'm not trusting in my good citizenship. I'm not trusting in my generosity or philanthropy. I'm trusting in him. And I tell you, on the authority of this book, the Bible, the Word of God, you forsake all these things and you trust him, you will be saved, and you will be saved for time and for God's eternity. Let's just bow together, please, as we bring our meeting to a close. A word of prayer. As your heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, can I just say tonight, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Maybe you've been thinking about getting saved. Maybe there's been obstacles in your path. But dear friend, you realize tonight that you have to come. You have to come just as a little child in childlike faith. And the Bible says, as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And believing and receiving, one and the same. Someone bought you a gift, they buy it, they pay for it, they may gift wrap it, they present it to you, and all you have to do is take it and receive it. And friend, tonight the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He offers you eternal life freely if you come and receive him. If you're concerned about these things, please don't go away. Tell us of your need, even as we're at the door, and we'll go somewhere nice and quiet and show you from God's word, God's way of salvation, so that you can be saved, so that you can know that you're saved, and you can be sure that you're saved, and that it is well with your soul. But don't go away. If you're with a Christian friend or with another friend, get them to come with you. We'll be glad to see you and to speak to you. But don't go away without Christ. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, for the simple message of this man of God, Noah, the building of the ark, and the saving of his house. And we pray tonight that some dear soul, under the threat of impending judgment and doom, may turn while the Saviour and mercy is calling, and might steer for the harbour light. For hardly they know, but their soul could be drifting over the dead line, even this very night. O God, in mercy come, we pray. Give them grace and help to come, even in their time of need, and receive Christ as Saviour. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with us all now until the Lord Jesus Christ comes or calls. Amen.